All right. The kingdom of God is not just, as I said last week, about going to heaven. The kingdom of God is something that is very tangible, something, I can't believe I do this as a job. I can't believe this. I just had a moment, sorry. I'm looking at all these people going, my goodness, are you really going to entrust me to say this? Okay. The kingdom of God is where the believer agrees with God. Okay? You must first agree with him to obey him. God, I'm wrong, you're right. Let's just start there. Okay? And in the kingdom, there is a king. And Jesus Christ, thank you, Holy Spirit, is prophet, priest, and king. He's prophet. He tells us what God wants us to know. Okay? He speaks forth the word of God. Amen? Jesus is priest. He's the mediator. He's the one in between man and God. We cannot get to God but by Jesus Christ. The blood that he shed for us brings all the believers into God's family. We are now adopted into the most royal family there will ever be. Through Jesus Christ. Where that king, where Jesus, prophet, priest, and king, he rules over us and defends us. Amen. I cannot tell you, and you probably don't know, how many times God has spared your life without you even knowing. Okay? He defends you, not just from danger seen and unseen, but from the danger of you. Because if we're honest with ourselves, there's some things that I can come up with that can destroy me. And the Lord graciously empowers me to go, no, I serve not my flesh, I serve my king. So when you mention discipleship, when you say I'm a member of God's family, if you're not a disciple, nobody's going to notice. There's going to be no visible proof. As I said last week, when Jesus is looking over his shoulder, he ought to see you following him. Following after Christ. That's what it really means to be in the kingdom of God, to really be a disciple. So, here we go. You ready? Disclaimer. I love all y'all. Last Sunday when I preached, some people, you know, normally people come to me and say, Pastor, that was a great message. Last Sunday, when I preached, old ladies was like, yeah, what's up? Hi, Pastor. This one will be no better. But I got to tell you the truth. Because I want us to be free. And some things that will free us are hard to hear. Okay? And it's not just you. It's God's dealing with me, too. Amen? All right, here we go. So some of you are looking at me like, oh, my goodness. All right, so here's a snapshot of what normally happens. Let me get into this. You are born, you get an education, you learn a trade, you get a job, you get a check, you pay for a bunch of stuff, and then you die. Right? Let's take it a little step further. It's possible that God may bless you with children. And then they are born. They get an education. They learn a trade. They get a job. They get a check. And we as parents, we look at our children and we say to them, I'm so proud of you because you didn't go to jail. You didn't do nothing crazy. You're so successful. Thank you for not making me look bad. Right? They get a job. They get a trade. They spend a bunch of money after they get their check, and then they die. That's pretty much the norm. You got to go get yourself an education. Why? So you can be something. Do something with yourself. The world system tells us that the reason why we do this is so we can take care of ourselves, right? But that's putting all the focus on you. The problem with that is there is a God. He exists. And for those of us that believe in him, his word tells us that life is much more. It's about much more than just you. Amen? It's not all about you. Amen? Let's just go with this main text and then I'll expand on this. Psalm 50. 10 to 12. Speaking again from this topic of serving God or serving money. This is part two, okay? For every beast of the forest is mine. This is the Lord speaking. Amen. And the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains. And the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. And I said last week that everything belongs to God, right? Back then, explained that the way that one would make their money, amen, was off the land that you possessed and farmed. And the livestock. Okay? So people, you know, that was how folks made their money. So if God owns everything, and we just read that passage, if God owns everything, he owns all the land, he owns all the birds, he owns all the cattle, then why would he command that Israel give the tithe or 10% of what they possessed? Now someone would say, Pastor, that means you can't be talking about me because I'm not an Israelite. Well, God owns everything. He owned it then, and in 2018, he still owns everything. Amen? So the question really is, what does God want with my money? You ever think about it? Again, serving God or serving money. Part two. Here we go. To understand the tithe, you might want to write down these scriptures. I'm going to go through some things here. We need to look back in time. Look at the Old Testament and see what God means about this tithe or what he was really doing with the tithe. You ready? Tithes are mentioned at least 25 times in the Old Testament. But the concept of it, there's so many verses, we can't go through them all today. Amen? So I just want to give us a brief snapshot in the Old Testament to explain the history of the tithe. Okay? And maybe we can get some things straight as far as what it means to us. Genesis 14:20 says this. Genesis 14:20. And blessed be God, Most High, who has defended your enemies for you. Then it says, then Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he recovered. So in Genesis, Abram gave a tenth of all the spoils that he received after he rescued Lot. Amen? From some mess he got in when they captured Lot. Took all his family, took all his stuff. Abram rounded up 300 soldiers, his best men, went down there, rescued Lot. Then he took all the spoils and he ran into the king of Salem. And his name is Melchizedek. And some of you may have heard that name before. He is a picture of Christ himself. Amen. And after Melchizedek blessed Abram, Abram paid tithes. He gave a tenth of everything that he had gotten or gained from the spoils of the people who took Lot. So he didn't just take Lot back and his family back. He took all their stuff too from the people that took Lot. Okay? And he gave a tenth of that. Then in Genesis 28, write this down, y'all. Genesis 28, 20 through 22. It says this, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, in other words, if God will protect me, amen, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, food and clothing, that's provision, right? Verse 21, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. This is Jacob speaking. And this stone which I've set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. You see it again. Jacob has a dream of angels ascending and descending on a ladder. Remember that? And he has a talk with God, and God at that time promises to bless Jacob. Amen? There's a huge amount of blessings coming to Jacob. And after that promise, Jacob decides to take everything he has and take a tenth out of that and give it to God. Now, I need to point out something very important. This was before the law. This was before God said, give me anything. Okay? We haven't entered the time of Moses yet. Okay? What we see here is there were men who had been blessed by God, protected by God, deciding on their own, with no law in place, to give a tenth of everything that they had. God, at this point in time, never demanded a payment of any kind. Very important for you to notice that. Because as we go through this series, we're going to talk about that. What happened? They were just grateful. In other words, they didn't just say thanks to God and keep it moving. Okay? Now, stick your finger there, and let's move into the law. Fast forward to the law. Just taking us through a brief history here. Help me, Lord. God has rescued the Israelites from 400 years plus of slavery in Egypt. While they were in captivity for 400 plus years, they got used to the ways of the Egyptians. And they were used to serving Pharaoh. Amen? But when God delivered them and they crossed the Red Sea, they were physically no longer in Egypt, and they were free to serve at that time the true and the living God, but they still had a slave mentality. Alright? So they are God's people, but they really don't know who God is. They really don't understand who they are, and they have no idea what the purpose is for their lives. So they crossed over physically, but mentally and spiritually, they're still back in Egypt. Okay? So, what does God do? God gives them the law. Okay? And in his law, he commands them, as a part of the law, and tells them what they must do, keyword, must do, with their money. Leviticus 27, 30 and 33 is the first time that this comes up. Leviticus 27, 30 through 33. Help me, Lord. Here we go. Hold me up, all the way up. And all the tithe of the land, whether of seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. You see it? It is holy unto the Lord. Now, skip down to verse 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd, or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So what you had here, people, was the shepherds and the farmers who had animals. And the priests would stand, and they would hold the rod up. And whatever was coming through to the temple, a tenth of every animal that passed through, that every tenth one belonged to the Lord. See how that works? So they would count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Lords, 1, 2, 3, 4. So what you got there basically is this.
help me, God.
If you were caught trying to fix it so that the lame and crippled sheep would end up somehow being the 10th animal, then the Spirit of God would elect the priest. And the priest would say, all right, the one that was the 10th and the one that you tried to rig, now both of those is God. You lose both. So what are you saying, Pastor? Basically, you could not arrange to give God your worst. You couldn't prearrange to give God the least of what you had. He set it up to where it was a foolproof thing. No, no, no. The Spirit of God is protecting all of it. See? So the idea was is that you couldn't think about, we'll give this one to God. Kick it and then say, that's going to be the Lord. It's already broke down already. Okay? All right. So now, here we go. At first glance, it would seem like God is eating the animals. What is God doing with the animals? No, listen, people. God is not interested in the vegetables, the herbs, and the berries. That's not it. God is a spirit. You don't make a plate for God. Okay? What you need to understand is that what was really happening as far as God collecting the tithe, it's being set aside for the priest who worked for God. That's a very key point. Okay? All right. Now, let me show you why. 2 Chronicles 31:4. 2 Chronicles 31:4. In addition, he required the people in Jerusalem to bring a portion of their goods to the priest and the Levites, so they could, underline this, devote themselves fully to the law of the Lord. What was happening? Well, the Levites didn't get any land. Okay? They were not supposed to work on the land because they were really, really busy working in the temple. How do you know that, Pastor? Let's back it up. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. Numbers 18:20. I hope you're getting all these scriptures. Numbers 18:20-21. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in the land. So their money did not come from what they produced from the land. Then it says of the Israelites, nor any portion of the land. So you can't produce anything on the land and you don't get any land that you own. You can't own any land. That's what was happening with the Levites. Okay? And you can't produce anything from the land. You don't have the land. Okay? All right? And it says, I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Ooh. Verse 21. Behold, I have given the Levites all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for their service which they perform in the service of the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. What was happening? The point is this. God set it up a long time ago that the other tribes, the other 11 tribes, would take the 10% of what they got from the land and give it to the tribe of Levi, who were the ministers, the pastors, the teachers, the priests, amen, who were devoted to meeting with God on their behalf. Are you catching this? I hope this is not too boring for you because I want you to understand what's happening here. All right, so God was saying, take care of the people who spend all their time meeting with me about you. Understand? The 10 of me. All right, but there was more. We ain't done yet. Deuteronomy 14:28-29. I'm moving quickly, just write down the scriptures. Deuteronomy 14:28-29. At the end of every third year, bring the entire tithe, that is the year's harvest, and store it in the nearest town. Verse 29, give it to the Levites again, remember, who will receive no allotment of land among you. Not done, no, watch this. As well as the foreigners living among you. The orphans, the widows in the town. Huh? So this is where we get the benevolence offering. Are you seeing what's happening here? All right. God eating the sheep? No. God eating the bears? No. Huh? Giving God the money? Not really. That's not really what's happening here. What's happening here is that you give the money to the folks that need it and the folks that are working to God, working for God. Are you catching that? God doesn't need your money. So watch this. So they can eat, those people that are either working for God or can't work for themselves. You know, the widows lost their husband, the children, they had needs. So God says, so they can eat and be satisfied. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all your work. Then, did you catch that? It was a blessing after you did what God said. All right. So, God doesn't need your money. God does not have a Wells Fargo bank account, nor does he need one. God doesn't need your money or your cattle or your fruits and berries. People do. You catching this? And God promised his people long ago that if you give, then he will bless you. It's a tight subject. I know people don't like this. I'm not preaching anyway. I don't care. I got some folks looking at me like, that's the Old Testament. You ready? I really want you to pay attention here. That's the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, as far as the tithing. It's a tithe snapshot. The New Testament is very different. Okay? Are you listening? In fact, the New Testament barely even mentions the tithe. Jesus only mentioned the tithe twice. Oh. And in both cases, it wasn't really about giving. It was in the context of rebuking Pharisees for thinking they were all that because they were giving. You can't give your way into heaven. You don't earn righteousness. That comes from Jesus Christ. So the Pharisees was like, tithing on sugar. How do you even do that? That's how religious they were. I've got 45 beans. I need to set aside 10% of the beans and give it to God. They were seriously religious. That's how ridiculous they were. All right? So when Jesus mentioned tithing, it was in the context of a rebuke. Let's take a look at it just so we can level set this thing here, okay? Because now we are not in the old covenant. We are in the new covenant. Amen? Matthew 23:23. I see the children writing down the scriptures. Go, y'all. That's good. Thank you, kids. All right. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. We're going to talk about that word next week. For you pay tithe of mint, I don't even know how to pronounce it, and anise, okay, and cumin. These are all herbs, okay? And have omitted the weightier matters of the law. What is that? Comma, judgment, mercy, faith. Now, catch this statement, people, don't miss this. These ought ye have to have done, and not leave out the other undone. You see? And leave the other undone. You're supposed to. He's saying you're supposed to tithe. But you neglected the more important things. Are you catching this? So something's happening here with the tithe. We're layering now. Are you seeing that? I'm going to let's go a little bit deeper. Paul, as far as we know, because we really don't know who wrote Hebrews, but Paul, as far as we know, never mentions tithing at all. Interesting, right? None of his letters. So it's really hard to say that God expects us in the new covenant, where we are now, to tithe. Let that sink in.
You ready? He was like, I like that part. Oh, good, I can leave right now. Please stop. Please stop right there.
But this is what God told Paul to say about the whole concept of giving.
Are you ready? Write this down. As we said last Sunday,
1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. And I'm going to go into that next week to talk about the history of what's happening there. So what we see here is, let's just break that down. We give regularly. We set aside a portion of it. That means giving should be consistent. Okay? My daddy used to tell me a long time ago, and it changed everything in my life. He said, Jamie, don't walk up in God's church with no gift in your hand. He said, if you want to sleep better, you don't want to have to worry about all this other stuff, then don't walk in God's church without a gift in your hand. Trust the Lord. That's what my bishop, my father taught me. We sleep well. Okay? Keep going. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. Uh-oh. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So, here's a principle. Generous people don't go broke. Are you catching that? Not only that, you will have enough left over to bless somebody else. So this is a law in the universe of God, okay, that applies to everybody that's in that universe. Just like the law of gravity, generous people can't go broke. It's never happened. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. It cannot happen. You're listening. Good. That's good. That's good. 2 Corinthians 8:3. Uh-oh. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. So, here we go. We're layering. Are you seeing this? Give not just a portion that you earn, which is Old Testament, but be generous and give beyond what you earn, which is New Testament. People don't like that. So in the New Testament, we could see so far that it's not just giving 10%. Now, if you don't like what Paul had to say about giving, which is still the word of God, let's just deal with the red letters. Let's see what Jesus said about giving. Let's see what I don't like Paul. Well, guess what? Too bad. Jesus told him what to say. Deal with it. I only listen to Jesus. Really? Here we go. Luke 3:11. He answers and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. That's not 10%, people. That's 50%. That's half. You don't, God didn't say give him a sleeve or a collar. He said, you got two coats? Give him one. That's not 10%. That's half. You got a Big Mac? Cut it in half. Nice and quiet in here. I think I can whisper when I preach. Luke 19:8. This is Jesus. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, watch what happened after Jesus dealt with him. You ready? I will give half my wealth to the poor. Lord, if I cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. This is giving way beyond the 10%, people. This is being generous. This is stretching your faith. Matthew 19:21. Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. And then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. That's not 10%. That's not 50%. That's 100%. Oh, Pastor, what you talking about? Luke 14:33. So you cannot become my disciple. That means you are not really following me. What? Without giving up everything you own. Oh, my goodness. I did not make this up. This is the Savior of our souls talking. Now, I see some of you looking at me, but this is what he said. Some of us have a problem with that verse. We immediately become theologians. We want to wiggle out of what God really means so that we can continue to live as comfortably as possible. What does everything really mean in the Greek, Pastor? What is that? What is Jesus really saying? I'm going to go to seminary just now. I'm going to seminary. I got to know what that means. What does everything really mean? Unless you give everything, you cannot be my disciple. What does Jesus really say? Did Jesus say that? Did Jesus say that? Did Jesus say that? Is that in your Bible? It's in mine. But let's look at it from Jesus' point of view. Jesus is saying, I'm about to give it all away. Ooh. I was sent here to put my whole entire life on that cross. To pay for a sin debt that I never owed. I've done no wrong against God. I've never rebelled against God. And yet I'm not going to hold back any part of myself when I get up on that cross. I'm doing this not to save myself. I'm doing this to save you from hell. When Jesus got on the cross, he didn't say, you can take my toenail, but you can't have me. He put himself, his whole self, everything, he gave everything he had to save us. He's given his whole entire life for you and me. The question is, what will we give him? Hang with me, I'm not done. So, let's put this in context here. The Old Testament was training for Israel. Okay? The covenant with God was simple back then. You give to God, and God will return blessings to you. Very simple. But the old covenant is just a shadow of God, of what God really intended for us to do. Are you seeing this? The New Testament reveals the true intention of God. Instead of it just being about you being blessed and you being blessed only, you and your folks being blessed, now God wants to use his resources through you in a way that goes along with his interests. And not just blessing you and your folks, but blessing others. Are you seeing this? Now God commands us to do this. Write this down. He commands us to partner with God. It's a partnership. It's a partnership in reaching the world. Israel was like, I give, bless me. In the new covenant, God is saying, you give and you partner with me in reaching the world. That's what the Christians do now. All right? It's not just about the Israel 10% religious you must do. Amen? It's about the church partnering with God to reach the whole entire world. Now, remember, God doesn't need your money. He's not in heaven with some kind of ATM card waiting for you to put some money in his account so he can go buy something. That's not what's happening. No, he's sitting in heaven on the throne, amen, with all the wealth and all the resources in the whole entire galaxy and giving more resources to those who truly partner with his agenda. That's what's happening. So here's the truth. I'm almost done. This ain't gonna be long. Christians, if you're only doing an Old Testament tithe and living off the 90%, but never partnering with God in his mission that he gave us, then you are robbing God. That hit me in my own gut. Unless you have some really good reason for holding on to 90% of God's money, man, I'm telling you, the crickets are having church right now. I can't. That just sucked all the air out of the building. I can't breathe. I'm going to say that one more time. If you are only doing the Old Testament tithe of living off the 90%, but never partnering with God in his mission that he gave us, then you are robbing God. Unless you have a really good reason for holding on to his 90%. So, what that puts us in a position of this, we are really trustees of God's resources. Amen? We're not just giving God the 10%. We are stewards over the rest of his other 90%. And we're going to have to answer to God for what we did with his money. What am I using God's money for? Is it to spread the gospel? Is it to help other Christians? Is it to lift the burdens of others, including heathens? Is it to support the local church so that it stays open and is allowed to be a light in the community? Or am I spending all of God's 90% on me? If God owns everything and places me in a position as his trustee, how much am I going to charge God in administration fees? Just to take care of me. While I pity pitch on his business and what he asked me to take care of. The last Sunday of TLC was... Ask yourself, am I a steward of God's money or am I an embezzler of God's money? I feel bricks. Remember, folks, this is the key. This is why we started with that verse. This is the game changer for me. It's not my money. It's not. It's not mine. And some of us are miserable because we think it's our money. Some of us are being tricked. We will have to answer for every dime of God's money. It would be an awful thing to show up in heaven with no souls following us and nothing to show for what God gave us but a bunch of receipts for mortgages and rents and apartments and a pair of designer shoes and Sunday outfits that made fashion designers rich off of God's people. This is stinging, isn't it? We've all been in the churches where we marched around. Remember back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
The choir be singing and make it joyful. March around the offering to give your tithes. I remember watching what was supposed to be a display of worship in the form of giving. But instead, somehow it turned into what looked more like a fashion show. Look, everybody get it. How big is your hat going to be? I mean, really. I can't see Jesus because of you, right? Where is the Lord? You wore the biggest hat ever on Sunday. Now, if you watch the offering, it would look like, to the human eye, that there's a bunch of billionaires in the church. The outfits were high-end, and everything was name brand. They had on every single label you can think of but Christ. Come on, we know the truth. But here's the problem. You would think that if they could afford to dress like that, they would also be able to afford to give like that. God help us. As a pastor's kid, I knew that was not really the case. Should I go here, Lord? The offerings would be low. One time, Dad decided, don't tell the people to march around. Just tell them to give. Because I don't like what I'm seeing.
Amen.
I don't like that spirit. Something's not right.
Amen.
Shortly after that, Dad was going on tour. He had to.
Okay.
Because they reported to him that the offerings were so low that everything he earned, instead of paying and taking care of his family, he put it back in the church. Because the people stopped giving. Because they couldn't show off. And here's the other side of it. Even when they were marching around, they didn't really give. Just showing off. So we put up our house, we borrow money, we do everything we can. Oh, yeah. That's real. You remember. Okay? They would put on the finest clothes and then fill out a check for $2 for God. Now, how are you going to partner with God in his kingdom if you give 90% of his money to Gucci and cable TV and credit cards and Mercedes Benz and, huh? There's a word right there, huh? Maintenance fees and how? Look at it. Remember, in the New Testament, it's not how much you give. The real question is, how much do I dare keep? You got it. In the New Testament, it's not, well, how much does God want? In the New Testament is, how much do I dare keep of his money? That is a completely new concept to a lot of people in the church, including me. That broke me down. I had to really start thinking about what I'm doing with God's resources. And then remember this, people. God is an investor.
Okay.
He knows who or what or how much to invest in certain people and how much not to invest in certain people. And guess who makes the decision? We do. Caveat here. people don't give because of their circumstances. Maybe there was a health problem and you couldn't work. Maybe you lost your job and you went under and you got in debt and you couldn't work. Those are very real issues. Okay? Some people would love to give, but just can't. Okay? That's one side of it. Here's the other side. If you're looking at your circumstances for too long, then you're letting your circumstances tell you what you need to give. I'm going to say it again. If you're looking at your circumstances for too long, then you're allowing your circumstances to tell you what to give. Then your circumstances have overcome you and you don't overcome your circumstances. Don't let your circumstances or your situation become your Lord and Master. That's not who they are. Sometimes the best way to overcome debt is to give your way out of it. I'll never forget, I had a $40,000 plus tax bill. Didn't know what I was going to do. The government was like, we will knock on your door, boy, if you don't. We'll come snatch you off that keyboard. I was like, don't you need to go after some billionaires or something like that? I watched God strategically deal with that situation. There was another time when I thought I had another bill to pay. And I called the IRS and I told them, I said, listen, something happened. I know what the deal is. I want to make a deal. Okay? Got on the phone, talked to the lady. The lady said, what's your name? I said, Jamie Hawkins. She said, She starts typing. Hello? Hold on 1 second, sir. I said, so I need to make a deal with you to pay this money. She said, what money?
Look at it. Look at
you. I said, wait. Can I get that on tape? What money? What are you talking about? You remember? I said, I need to pay this. I don't want y'all coming back years later with interest about this money. Let's make a deal now. She said, Mr. Hawkins, what are you talking about? There is no money. And she got quiet. I said, thank you, Jesus. That was several years ago. They haven't called back since. Wow. What was I doing? I decided to give. I'm not going to let what's happening with me and what I'm dealing with and whatever misfortune or whatever have you dictate to me how much I give to my too good to me God. It's just that simple. Okay? Oh, Lord. Even if God causes your circumstances to change immediately or not immediately, you can still give. Amen? Because God can, in an instant, just like that, all he has to do is speak a word. And that situation can be gone. Or God can give you the money out of nowhere. I've seen it happen. Amen? But if you prove that you'll give God the bare minimum in hard times, be careful, because you may be proving that you'll also give God the bare minimum in good times. Okay? Let's look at this verse one more time, and I'm ending. Oh, God. 2 Corinthians 8:3. For I can attest that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. Jesus himself said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. The kingdom of God, people, is completely opposite than what you will instantly or naturally think of. It's completely foreign to us. It's upside down. Sin has messed up my mind so much when it comes to how I see money that I'm completely off base. I would never know how to be in the kingdom protection of God when it comes to my finances if I had not looked at his word. I don't have the ability to naturally come up with this on my own. And I've proven it. I blew 20 years of record company money and never gave God a dime. I blew it. And I asked my dad, what happened? Did you ever give? Well, I had to pay the lawyers, the accountants. There was all this stuff I had going on, the orchestra. Them people are costly. Dad said, why didn't you take it off the top? Did you not give first? Is that where your heart is? I guess so. He said, well, that's where your money is. That's why you broke it at my house. Straight up. The next time I got in trouble, I was like, what's going on? Let me make this check out right now. It's been different ever since. It's been different ever since. Am I a billionaire? No. Am I sleeping well? Yes. Do I have an understanding of where God's money is? Or whose money it really belongs to? Yes, it belongs to God. It's not mine. That changed me. Proverbs 11:24-26. I'm going to end with this. Low-key teaching, but good teaching. Proverbs 11:24-26. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. This is a law, people. Watch this. Law. Just get up. Get up. No. There's a law here. There's weight here. It's not going to get up. It can't. It'll be sitting here next Sunday if I don't move it. If I don't do something, this doesn't move. Okay? It's just like gravity. It's as simple as that, people. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. People curse those who hoard their grain, but they bless the one who sells in the time of need. You hold on to God's resources and don't use it for his kingdom. You lose. You get the right concept as far as who the money really belongs to. And you give. Okay, we'll talk about the heart behind that next Sunday. Because there's a certain kind of heart that goes along with it. Okay? All right? But watch this, people. Last Sunday, I made a decision. I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to prove God. I'm going to test him. The reason why I tested him was not because I was expecting anything. What I was looking for was self-control over me. Okay, I'm going to explain that in a minute. I decided I was going to give a tithe. And I don't just believe in tithe. I believe in giving an offering. So some people start off with a tithe, that's fine. Okay? But I give an offering. So I gave my tithe, I gave my offering, and I gave some money to benevolence. Okay? And then there's another slot where you can give to the pastor's aid. There's another slot where you can decide, hey, the keyboard broke on Sunday. I think I want to give to that. Hey, the kids want to go to a field trip and see the Noah's Ark. You can give. And I want the kids to be able to go. You can give to that. You know what I'm saying? You can give to, you know, the hospitality. We need some more chicken. You can give to that. Okay? You can give. You can give over and above. You can be generous. I decided I was going to be generous. Why? Okay? I give a little bit over. But this time I was like, I'm just going to. That's just give. That's just whatever happens, whatever happens. I'm going to be all right because I trust God. It didn't even get to Tuesday. I went in my mailbox. I'm not lying. You can ask my wife. I went in my mailbox, looked in the mailbox, almost half, over half of what I gave. So over half of what I gave, 75% of what I gave. Okay? No, that's wrong, man. The same amount of what I gave plus another 75. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
was in the mailbox. I said, well, my God. I said, it's not even Tuesday yet. It's early in the morning. Right after I got that, I walked in my house. I said, well, I wasn't expecting this. The phone rang. Hey, Brother Hawkins, I need to come by your house this week. I need to pay you to do some music for me. I got a couple of restaurants. I need to do this. So I'm coming this week to do some music with you. By the time God finished with my week, he poured me out a blessing that I did not even have room enough to receive. I was just like, my goodness. I did not give people to impress you. I'm not lying. I didn't give to get anything in return. I gave because I'm like, this ain't my money. And I want to be generous. I want to, when I get to heaven, I want to be esteemed that I gave to the kingdom. And I'm going to do that no matter what. I could not believe it. But then I thought to myself, what did you expect? I mean, really. He may give it to you in the form of money. He may cancel some bills. Somebody may donate something. Somebody, I had to pay for something. Now I don't have to pay for something. That's what he does. Okay? Now, my point is this. The other side of that is I couldn't be a person that was coveting this week. Because I put all my money in there, in offering basket. So whatever I would normally try to just spend on some other stuff during the month, I just put it away. I gave it to God. What did that do? Not only did God bless me, he's restricting me. So the money is coming in, but I'm not spending the money that I'm giving to the kingdom. He's showing me that my resources, Jamie, are unlimited. And not only that, I'm going to restrict you. I'm going to change your heart. So this week when I could have thought, ooh, some more money come in. Let me go get some stuff. Every time I thought about it, Lord, it gripped my heart. No, you will not do that. That's my money. So my prayer for self-control, which was what I was really after, God answered. But then God just said, keep telling the people the truth.
That's right.
Now, I know this is tough for some people. And I know I'm preaching way down here and not trying to excite you. I'm not asking people to get into Oregon and run around and do laps in the church. That's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get you to see what you're missing out on. There is a kingdom life principle that is so much bigger than your pocketbook here. When I told you I stepped on a landmine, there's something underneath this that we're going to talk about on next Sunday that will change your whole perspective on everything. It'll change your whole perspective on everything. And that's what I really need. That's what I really want. Faithfulness and holiness is really what I'm after. I want to be a disciple of Christ. Amen? Unless someone picks it up. I want to be a disciple of Christ. I don't want to be someone who says, this is what I do, when there's no proof of it in my life. And we're going to talk about that next Sunday, about the hypocrisy of the church. Amen? And then we're going to talk about how God rewards you for being a true disciple. Amen? So, we've dealt with what we give. Here's a question. Is God looking at the heart when we give? What kind of attitude should I have when I give? If I gave all my money away, but didn't give it cheerfully, does it even count? I'm going to say it one more time. God is not after your gold or your silver. He's after you. Somebody's getting it. He's after you. Lord of all, Christ must be Lord of all. Lord of all, or not Lord at all. Christ must be Lord of all. That's what he really wants. You want to know why? Because that kind of thing is what we saw in Acts. It changed a whole nation. Brought down empires. When the saints decide to give God all of them, when the saints decide to be just like the Old Testament covenant, they say be a living sacrifice. What New Testament covenant says, be a living sacrifice. But back then, there was an altar. He didn't say put some of the animal on the altar. Give God an earlobe. Put it all on it. Trust me. See what I do. See what I do. There was a man who was in the desert. He was thirsty. He ran up to a well. And in the well, there was a sign in the front of the well. The sign says, put some water in, and then you will get all the water you need. He's thirsty. He's starving. He looks down. There's a small cup of water sitting right next to the well. The idea was, put the water in and you will get all the water you need. The man is now faced with a dilemma. He's starving. He's thirsty. He needs to drink something. There's the water here. He could quench his thirst now for a brief second. Or he could trust the word on the sign, which is put the water in and then you get all the water you need. What does he do? He decides to trust the water. I mean, the words on the sign. He takes the water, and instead of drinking immediately and getting immediately gratified, he uses faith. Puts the water into the pump. The water, it goes into the pump and it pumps the water deep down in the well. He starts pumping it, moving the lever, see if something will happen. The water eventually begins to gush out. So much so that not only can he drink the water, he decides he's going to take a bath. He decides, I'm going to dig something in the ground and make a little swimming pool while I'm here. He decides, I can wash my clothes now. He decides, do you see what's happening here? What we do, the enemy does this to us. Oh, take the water now. And then we wonder why we end up broke. Are you getting it? Trust the Lord. Don't serve your money. Serve God. I'm done. Let's stand.